Scripture, that of Noah, and I believe most of us have heard and know of the story there. We'll go over it again today, but I just want to look at it, and I've been going through, starting in Genesis there, and just studying different pictures of God's salvation, and what a beautiful picture of salvation is found in the story of Noah. And the ark and all that God had here. So we're going to see this, and I would start out by saying this, that number one, it is a true story. Apart, and there's a lot of skeptics out there that don't believe this is true, but it's absolutely true. How do you know it's true? Because God said it was. Right. And it's in the Word of God, and may I just add that science would back this up as well. But it's a true story, but it's a beautiful picture of salvation, and let's read a few verses here. We'll kind of skip around for time's sake in Genesis chapter number 6. But let's read a few verses. If you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures. If you're not able to, God understands that. I promise you that in Genesis chapter number 6. And let's start reading in verse number 5 in Genesis chapter 6. It says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Skip down to verse number 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please again take the message. I pray you'd use it for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just put a hedge about this place. I pray that you'd remove any distraction the devil would like to send our way today. I pray that we'd listen. God, our attention will be drawn in by the Holy Spirit, and he would teach us what we need today. Help us to be submissive to the Word of God. And God, anyone here today that's not saved, I pray today would be the day of salvation. And Lord, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now, you say, well, this happened thousands of years ago. It did. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. But not only is it relevant for what happened back then, but it's extremely relevant for the day in which we live in. I say that because Jesus said in the last days, it will be as the days of Noah. That what we read about in this passage of scripture, what is going on in the days of Noah, will be a sign that we are in the last days right before the return of Christ. So let's look at this today with the thought and the understanding that we should be looking for this when we know the Lord's about to return. So just three thoughts. Number one, in this passage of Scripture, I want you to see the problem. There is a great problem that is addressed in this passage. We skipped the first four verses, but we can go back and glance at those again. That number one, there was a great apostasy. A great apostasy. Now, the meaning of these four verses and what it's talking about, there's still a whole lot of debate, and I guess the verdict's out on that, and everyone has their opinion. But there's something I can tell you for sure from these four verses. That number one, there was a very sensual society going on. It says there in verse number two that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. It was a society based upon sensual thoughts and sensual looks and sensual feelings. It was a society that was striving in verse number three. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. I say striving society in this light, that it was fighting against God. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There was a conflict with the thoughts of man and the ways of God. They didn't want God in their life. They were pushing back on God. And there was this striving going on, or this conflict going on, where God was trying to work, but they said, get out. So it was a very sensual society. It was a striving society. In verse number four, is a very self-promoting society. It says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, that the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. In other words, they were making a name for themselves. They were powerful men. They were very self-promoting. They loved to draw attention to themselves. It was a sensual society, a striving society against God, a self-promoting society. But when you take all of these verses and look at it, it's very clear it was a very sinful society. The world that we read about here in Genesis in chapter number 6 that draws the attention of God and demands the judgment of God is a civilization and a culture that was extremely sensual. They fought against God. They loved themselves and they loved their sin. The Lord said this to look around when you see as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. What I just read to you is a beautiful, unfortunate commentary of where we live today. We live in a world today that is built upon sensuality. People think that way, they dress that way, they act that way, they live according to their lust, they love to fulfill their lust. We live in a sensual society, we live in a striving society that is trying to fight against God. They're trying to push God out. They don't want God in their lives. We're trying to push God out of our schools, out of our lives, out of our homes, out of all our culture. We just want to be free from God. That's exactly what they were doing in these days. They were a striving society, a self-promoting society. We live in that world today. I mean, social media is built on it. We love ourselves. We love to promote ourselves. We love as people to become powerful and prominent. Sin controls the society in which we live. Now, what I just read to you is 6,000 years ago. But the same thing's going on today. And if I was anybody at all paying attention, be I a teenager, be I an adult, this would grab my attention. That something that, everybody look at me, that was written thousands of years ago, said when you see this way of life becoming prominent again, you better know the Lord's coming back soon. So we read in this passage, you see this great apostasy, you see this godless activity. In verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They had this attitude, this way of life that their thoughts were, they were just filled with wickedness. I mean, the Bible clearly says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They had become so filled with wickedness that they accepted it as just being normal. Sin had become so commonplace that not only was it accepted as being normal, but it was promoted as being normal. Their thoughts had become so wicked that, you know, what we all, I don't care who you are in this room, we all have wicked thoughts. Everyone would say, well, I'm a Christian, so am I. Sometimes thoughts go through my mind that have no business being in my mind. But this society had gotten to a point that where that was normal. Where thinking like that was just what you do. And what is wrong to us, when we have a wicked thought, it jumps out to us as believers, that's wicked. To the unbeliever, it has gotten to a place where that's normal. We live in that world today. We live in a world today where that which the Bible says and we know to be, it is wicked. The world doesn't even see it as something questionable. They think we are odd for not accepting it. And I could go on and preach about a lot of different topics like that, but the Holy Spirit's a better teacher than I am, and you know exactly the kind of things we're talking about today. Things that the world says, hey, this is right. You're so hateful and not accepting this. No, if God's word says it's wrong, period.
Yes.
But this society, right before the Lord comes back, is so godless in their actions and in their thoughts that sin is normal to them. There's a great apostasy, a godless activity, and a growing anarchy. They were pushing God out and trying to live and create a society that was just about them, and it got to a point to where God was grieved that he had made man. God looked upon this society, and it grieved him. He did not hate man. Matter of fact, he made a way of salvation for man. See, what grieved him? Their sin. Their rejection. Listen, it grieved him because he loved them. You grieve over what you love. You know, I understand even with a pet. We get attached to our pets. You know, the dog that I grew up with, I had a Brittany Spaniel. It's a bird dog. And I named him Larry. He was Larry Bird Dog. Isn't that awesome? Celtics, long story, right? Larry Bird Dog. I love Larry. Larry was my dog, man. I grew up with Larry. When I went to college, we still had Larry. When my dad moved here, we still had Larry. There came a point I had to say goodbye to Larry. That hurt. I grieved over Larry. Now, don't take this the wrong way. When I hear about, you know, my neighbor, you know, they had to put down one of their dogs, I hated that for them, but I did not grieve. And I'm not being hard-hearted, all right? It's not my dog. I didn't love that dog. But I grieved over my dog. Because you only grieve over what you love. The Lord looked down upon man, and he grieved. Do you know why God grieved? Not because he was mad, not because he was angry, not because he said, that's it, I'm going to teach them a lesson. He grieved because he loved them, and it tore his heart to see what they were allowing sin to do to them. We live in that same society today. People are saying, get out of our life, God. God, we don't want you in our life. We don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our homes. We don't want you in our country. We want you out. We want to live our life. Sin is normal. We'll accept all of our sin. And there's a God in heaven whose heart is broken. He grieves. You know why? Because all those apostate people, God loves them. And he loves you too. And it grieves his heart. But sin demands a judgment. And this judgment, in verse number 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. The wages of sin has always been death. There was a judgment coming. But God, look at me, does not send judgment without making a way of escape. From beginning to end, you can read this book, there is a way of escape. Because God, it grieves his heart, and he loves you, and he wants to give you an opportunity to be saved and be spend eternity with him. So God said judgment must come. Judgment would come. Verse 12 and 13, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way before the earth, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail today. There's a lot of teaching here, but I'll just make the biblical founded statement that God's wrath will again be poured out. God will not, he promised he would not, destroy the earth with water. But there is, if you give me 45 seconds of prophecy here from the Word of God, the next event on God's calendar is the Lord's coming back. And when he comes back, he's not coming to this earth, he's coming in the clouds. And all of us that are saved are going to meet the Lord in the clouds. And by the way, he's bringing back all the saints who have died before us. We'll meet them together in the clouds. What a wonderful reunion that's going to be.
Yes.
But then we'll begin 7 years of tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble. God's wrath will be poured out upon this earth. And when God's wrath is poured out, this world will go through a time like it's never seen before. There will be times in this earth, and praise the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we that are saved are not appointed to wrath. We are going to be removed before this wrath begins. But when this wrath happens, God's judgment will be poured out upon this earth for 7 years. For 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to act like he's bringing peace, and he's going to unite the world, and everybody's going to seem like, hey, this is it. This guy's going to unite us. And then at the halfway point of that, he's going to turn against the Jews. 2/3 of the Jews will be killed and slaughtered, and he will turn, and the world will go into anarchy, and it will turn against God completely. God's judgment will be poured out, but at the end of that 7 years, the Lord returns, not in the clouds, but he comes and he steps foot on this earth. And when he does, all the armies of the world will be gathered against him, but there won't be much of a battle. The Lord, with the voice and the power of his words, will end that battle.
Yeah.
And he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years, during that 1,000 years, Satan is bound. But at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed. Man will have once more a choice to make, those who have not made that choice yet, living in that 1,000 years. And then at the end of that, there'll be the great white throne judgment. All those who chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast into eternity. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire. And then this world and the heavens will be burnt with a fervent heat. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And for all of eternity, all of God's children will live with the Lord Jesus Christ in perfect peace and harmony, without sin, without death, without separation, forevermore. That day's coming. If you're saved today, that's why the Apostle Paul looked at the Thessalonians and said, wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Knowing that it's all going to be okay, bring comfort to one another. But if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Say, how do I really know it's true? Well, I present Exhibit A. God said, look at this society. Thousands upon thousands of years later, when you see these same things happening, you better get ready. You see the problem, but then you see the plan. Aren't you glad God has a plan?
Yes.
Number one, his plan is this, a faithful witness of Christ. In verse number 8 in that chapter, it says there, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The New Testament says that he was a preacher of righteousness. I'm thankful that Noah, this faithful witness of Christ, he found God's grace. Amen. You and I that are saved, we can all testify the same thing. We're saved for one reason, because God's grace is sufficient. We're thankful today that God shed his grace on us and that he gave us a way of hope, a way of salvation to all those who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God's grace. And then he was a man who lived in God's goodness. I didn't read verse number 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, Noah lived a life celebrating the goodness of God. Every one of us that are saved ought to live our life in the same way. Our life ought to be noted the same way as Noah's. You say, well, I'm not Noah. I got news for you. Noah was just like you and me. He was a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
You say, well, I can't be Noah. I don't know why not. I don't know why. You can. You say, well, he was special. So are you.
Yes.
A lot of times we put some of these people and we lift them up and we say, I can never be like them. Well, you're wrong. I hate to be a spoiler or anything and I bring down Noah. But towards the end of Noah's life, he made a very terrible mistake. And I hate even mentioning that. He did something very bad, which hurt his family. But I will say this. It shows that Noah was just like you and me too. We all make mistakes. We all do things we shouldn't do. But here is a man that we still are talking about, because he was a person that you can be like too. And what do I need to be? You ought to be just. You ought to be saved. You ought to grow and be mature. And you ought to walk with God. Amen. So you see here a faithful witness of Christ. That's always been God's plan. God wants to show his grace in a life and allow us to live a life that points people to him. Do you see that in Noah's life in those two verses? Noah found grace. How many of you are saved today? Say amen. It's because you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And now you know what we are to do? We are to say thank you, God, and live a life like Noah that points people to God. Perfect, just, and a walk with God. You had a faithful witness of Christ, and secondly, you had the faithful work of Christ. In verses 14, 15, and 16, you see God's plan in action. Number one, there was an ark to be made. I'm not going to go into all the details of the ark. There's a museum pretty near us that does a pretty good job at that. But the fact is this, God made an ark. He had Noah make an ark. It was made out of gopher wood. The gopher wood is kind of there's a whole lot of questions about it. There's a whole lot of thoughts about it, but the fact is this, he chose it, and God used it, and if you look at the dimensions of it, and just drive down there sometime and look at it if you'd like to, the shape of it's not like a normal boat. Matter of fact, if you stop and look at it, it kind of resembles a casket. Look at it. The wood that was used, most theologians say, is the type of wood they would have used because of its water resistance. But the fact is this, I'll go on, those are just speculations. God made an ark. He made a way of salvation. He made a way for anyone that would choose to be saved from this wrath. God made a way. Hey, girls. Most important thing you're ever going to hear today is what I'm telling you. So sit up and be quiet. God made a way of salvation. God made a way in that every man was facing judgment. Judgment was coming. They were facing this judgment. But God said, I love man. I'm going to provide a way of salvation. And this ark, it was created and a way was made. And you and I ought to rejoice in that. That this ark was made and it was available for everybody. They could have walked in. The Bible says specifically there were rooms in this ark. God made availability. And I like the fact too, look at it there in verse number 14. It says it was made out of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. Now that word pitch is an awesome word. You get the idea. They were to take and to put on the outside of the wood a pitch or a covering. They didn't just do it on the outside, they did it on the inside too. But that word pitch is the same word that you'll read other places. Ready? Here's the great. It's the same word. Do a little word search. All right, get out a concordance. Look at this word. Ready? It's the same word. Ready for the word? Atonement. The same word. See, what is atonement? Look at Romans chapter number 5. You'll get an idea what atonement is. Romans chapter number 5. Now, this ark was created. A way of salvation was provided. There was room for everyone. It was to be covered in pitch. Romans chapter number 5. Look with me in verse number 10 in Romans chapter number 5. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The fact is this, atonement means this. It means that we owed a debt. You know, that wood, the reason why they put the pitch on there is because the wood was there. You know, but the pitch is what made it secure. Gave it its security. Inside and out. Amen. You and I, when we got saved, when we entered into the ark, Jesus Christ is that ark. That ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we make a choice to be saved, to believe what He has said. When we walk, we are in Christ. We are hidden. Our life is in Christ. Aren't you? If you're saved today, you're in Christ. Amen. And not only are you in Christ, but the pitch has been applied. Atonement has been made. All of our debt, all of our shortcomings, every failure that we have, it has been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Inside, outside, you are covered, you are guaranteed, you are secured because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we have salvation today. And when Noah built this ark, when it was built, God wasn't just thanking about Noah, but he was thinking that there's coming a day. There's coming a day that some guy's going to be standing in front of Kazzato Baptist Temple talking about this. And he wants everybody in that auditorium to know that Jesus is the way of salvation. And that you have to choose. Because listen, look at me. A lot of people, when Noah said, enter the ark, they said, no. People laughed at him. You know what the Bible says? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He no doubt got up on some stump or stack of wood and he said, listen to me, judgment's coming. You're all going to perish if you don't enter into the ark. Jesus has made a way of salvation. You must enter into this ark. Make that choice. And people sat there and they ignored him. They laughed. They didn't want to listen. They walked away. There's even some that, you know, maybe even this morning, you've been trying to do that same thing. And I just love you enough to say, would you please listen today? Because there's one more thing about this ark I want you to know, and I got to go on. There was one door. One door. There is only one way to salvation. Jesus said these words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That one door, the only way of salvation, is Jesus Christ. And if you're counting on your own works to get you to heaven, it will not happen. If you're counting on your own thoughts to get you to heaven, it will not happen. If you're trying to find some other way through some baptism or some other means to get you to heaven, there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. There came a time that God said, enter into the ark. Noah and his family and two of every kind of animal entered into that ark. But look at me. Noah didn't shut the door. The Bible specifically says that God shut that door. Right now, everybody look. Right now, the door's open.
Yes.
The door's open. God wants you to step inside. But there will come a day. Well, that door will be shut. That's why the Bible tells us, and I know we kind of laugh and smile because it's a play on words, but the Bible specifically says it. The Bible tells us what day to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved today. God's plan was based upon the faithful witness of Christ, the faithful work of Christ. Can I just give you this and we'll wrap it up? Salvation was based upon the faithful word of Christ. He said in this passage of Scripture in verse 17 to 22, he said, this is what, you can see in verse 17, this is what I'm going to do. Now we have no knowledge of it raining before. May have. We have no knowledge of anything like this ever happening before. And for Noah to enter and all those who entered into this ark, they did it for one reason. They believed God's word was true. What God said, they believed it. And I'm thankful that they got these three things from the word of God. Look at these verses real quick. Just glance at it real quick. That number one, they were given safety. Verse number 17, I bring a flood upon the water of the earth to destroy all flesh. Everything that's in the earth shall die. Verse number 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Verse number 20, at the end of that verse, to keep them alive. You know what the only guarantee of safety they had? God's word. I can only imagine when the rains began to fall and the door shut, when that boat lifted off because of the waters. You know good and well, like I do, Noah's family said, Dad, are you sure? Now, I know I'm giving you my thoughts on it. I don't have Bible for that. But I'm a human and so are they. Even John the Baptist sent some folks to the Lord and said, John wants to know, are you the one? Because I don't care who you are. The devil wants us to doubt sometimes. Dad, are you sure? I'm sure, Mrs. Noah. I said, are we okay? And the only answer that could be given, and the only one that matters, and the only one that actually can do anything about it, would have been this. Ready? God said we would. Amen. Because I guarantee if they were counting on Noah's ability as a carpenter, there would be some doubt there. If it was on them boys and whether they did everything exactly right, there's not a perfect person here. But the confidence they had is God said so. And they were promised safety because of the word of God. Not only that, but they were promised sustaining. Look at verse number 21. Taken to thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt eat, gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Dad, are we going to have enough food? Are we going to be able to make it? God said so. Amen. God said we would. Not only that, but their satisfaction is all going to be all right. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. I close this sermon in saying this. There was the problem. There was the plan, but it was all okay because of the promise. God said, Noah, you enter into that ark. You will be safe. You're going to be taken care of. And everything's going to be all right. The New Testament says when you see a society much like the one that you see in Noah, then know judgment's coming. And while I cannot deny that judgment is not coming, it is. But I can tell you in complete confidence and boldness that Jesus has made a way of salvation. You must choose to enter by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe on the Lord, my friend, there is safety. There is satisfaction. God will take care of you. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please use this invitation. I pray you'd use it.